Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall,
David Duchovny,
and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny that infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of True Crime with Kendall Ray. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you're new to the show, then welcome. I'm happy to have you here. So, guys, today, this case, oh my God, I could not believe I hadn't heard of this one before I found it and started diving into the details. And I could not believe what I found. I'm going to be telling you about the murder of Shane Moore. And it's incredibly messed up beyond words what happened to him. Makes no sense. Ridiculous. But then what makes this case even more crazy is Shane's killer ended up starring in this very low-budge movie, a horror movie, actually, while she was awaiting trial. Yeah, you heard that. Now, I've covered a lot of criminals who have done some pretty whack-ass things, but honestly, I can't think of anyone who went on to try and launch their acting career after killing someone. It is just beyond words bizarre how this person acted and how they committed this crime in such a callous way. And another reason why I wanted to cover this case is it hasn't gotten a whole lot of coverage, and Shane has been kind of overshadowed in this case overall because his killer, you know, caused such a scene, made such a, what's even the word for her? I was going to say a production, I guess, technically, yeah, a production. But a lot of the coverage has been totally focused on her. I mean, I was even watching a 48 Hours episode, I think it was 48 Hours, on this case, and the entire, at least first fourth of it, maybe even first half, didn't even mention him. It was only focused on her. And maybe that's partly because there isn't that much information available about Shane. But I still just think it's frustrating when the killer becomes the main person people remember when they hear coverage on a story, right? Like, it's just so icky. Shane really deserves to be just as remembered as his killer, whose name is Tucker. And I will explain more about her soon. So Shane Moore was born in 1953 in New Jersey, and he was the middle of five children. I couldn't confirm what his father's name was, but I do know his mother's name was Lore, and she'll come up a little bit more later on. But anyway, when he was a kid, his father was an admiral in the Navy, and so their family moved around a lot. And after high school, Shane decided to move to California to study law, and he graduated from UC Hastings in San Francisco. But once he passed the bar exam, Shane never actually practiced law. Instead, he followed his passion and opened up an antique bookstore, which I love hearing stories like this of people who go get a big degree, like a law degree or a doctorate or something like that, and then they end up just doing what they love in life anyway. Instead, they don't feel pressured because they got this degree that they can't go do what they want. I just love people like that. I think that tells you a lot about Shane just right off the bat. So he lived in Northern California until 2000, and then he moved to his parents' ranch in Southern Oregon. And he did that because his dad had been diagnosed with ALS. So Shane and his parents agreed that he would just go ahead and be his dad's live-in caretaker, which is a lot to take on. That's a heavy role, especially to play with a family member, right? And according to one of his brothers, Shane really did a lot for his parents. So he lived at the property, he maintained the property, he did the grocery shopping, he would even help carry his dad from his wheelchair into his bed or the shower. And then that same year, his sister Kelly and her kids moved onto the ranch as well. Now, Kelly is our second major player in this case. And let me just warn you right now, this woman is really something. Kelly was Shane's younger sister by about 4 years, and she also studied law in California. She graduated from UC Berkeley and then moved to Los Angeles to practice at a prestigious law firm where she even represented Anna Nicole Smith at one point. And while she was in LA, she ended up meeting and marrying an actor named Daniel Reed. The two of them actually wrote a book together called Deadly Medicine, which was actually pretty successful and was eventually adapted into a TV movie. And in 1989, which was just a month after the book's publication, the two of them welcomed their first child, a girl named Aisling Tucker Moore Reed, who went by Tucker. They would also go on to have two more kids, but while growing their family, they also just sort of hit a wall with their new careers in entertainment. Apparently, they just couldn't get any other work after the book, so it seemed like they were becoming one-hit wonders when it came to their success. And oftentimes, when there is stress on a relationship, financial stress, work stress, whatever else was going on in their lives, you know, it leads to things becoming really turbulent. And they were constantly fighting. And Daniel even later described their marriage and their home in general as a war zone, which it's not a great situation to be raising children in a war zone. So they ended up getting divorced. And Kelly demanded full custody. Daniel did try to prevent it, and he even said in family court that he believed something bad would happen. But unfortunately, Kelly was still granted full custody. And that's when she took the kids to live at her parents' place in Southern Oregon. And while it was a massive piece of property, the home on the land wasn't quite big enough for them all to live there. So her parents ended up buying a home for Kelly and her children to live in, and agreed to give her an allowance, which is a pretty sweet setup and also meant that she didn't have to work and she was able to put all of her focus on her kids. And she certainly did that, but especially on her eldest daughter, Tucker, who people said was very obviously Kelly's favorite child. Now, a big thing that you've got to understand about Tucker is that the girl had a real passion for performance, performing, being in the spotlight. When she was a kid, she acted in local theater, and Kelly was so supportive of it that she would even create little costumes for her. She attended Ashland High School, which had an incredible theater program, I guess. And Kelly, you know, she was really along for the ride of it all. She did Tucker's hair and makeup for every one of her performances, and even some of her classmates made fun of her for it. But that really didn't seem to bother Tucker much, and it didn't stop her from becoming incredibly close to her mother. And Kelly was really giving the classic stage mom, theater mom, whatever you want to call it, you know, living vicariously through her child, hoping to fulfill her own hopes and dreams through her kid, which always turns out well, right? If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding, but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I get it. There are so many products out there that it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything. That's why when I was freshly postpartum and experiencing a lot of those issues, I decided to give Nutrafol a closer look. And they weren't sponsoring me or anything. I had just done my own research and it seemed like a great option. And I'm so glad I tried it out because it's not just hype. It's physician formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists. And I saw such a massive change when I started using it. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. And you can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF Content Certified, which is the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. Adding Nutrafol into your daily routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required. Automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and you'll have access to free one-on-one naturopathic doctor consults to support you on your hair growth journey.
And that's not all, people. You'll also get a Headspace membership. See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Kendall Ray. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Kendall Ray. Once again, Nutrafol.com, promo code Kendall Ray. Over the years, I never wore a push-up bra. I always wanted to so I could have the effect of a push-up bra, but they were just too uncomfortable for me. Everyone I tried on, I was just not having it. But that all changed, and now I wear a push-up bra every day because I wear Skims. The Skims push-up bra is the absolute best push-up bra on the market, I'm telling you. And there was a while where I wouldn't even wear underwire bras. I mean, for years, because it just was so uncomfortable. But somehow the everyday push-up bra from Skims just gives me the lift and support I need without any poking or digging. And now it's literally the only bra I wear. I own it in multiple colors, and I never put on any other bra. And sometimes I want a more, you know, relaxed fit without losing shape or support. And that's when I grab the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra. It's soft, it's smooth under everything, it still gives me just enough lift, and it's become my go-to for everyday wear when I'm not in the mood for a push-up bra, but still want to feel put together. And I've also got to mention the Skims pajamas. Oh, I look forward to breaking those babies out every year. And this year I got a new set. They have so many good styles and designs and colors this year. You're definitely going to want to check them out. So shop my favorite bras and underwear at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know that I sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. The two of them were just very committed to acting and really believed that it was going to take them far in life. And even a friend of Kelly's said that she would talk about how she would be set for life when Tucker became a famous actress. The two of them were so focused on the entertainment industry that Tucker's yearbook quote about her future plans was, if all else fails, to marry a well-heeled, well-connected, blockbuster movie-making Hollywood producer, preferably with a summer home on the Cape. Now, that's quite the bold statement to make, and part of me thinks she was kind of joking, because who would honestly say that? Just wild, but Tucker is that type of person, so maybe she was serious. I don't know. But of course, Kelly and Tucker also thought they would try their hand at making a popular book series since it went so well for Kelly in the past. So the two of them, along with Tucker's little sister, published a young adult book series, and it was called Amber House. And Tucker even did the audiobook narration. So at 19, I mean, she is pretty accomplished for her age. And it made sense when she decided to move to Los Angeles to attend the University of Southern California. But Tucker's time there was complicated because a few years into school, she ended up filing a civil suit and complaint with USC against an ex-boyfriend for sexual assault. And I don't know the details of this entire situation. All I do know is the Student Judicial Affairs Committee investigated but found no proof of an assault, so take that for what you will. Of course, this doesn't mean that this didn't actually happen to her. I have no idea. I always start by believing victims, and I have, I guess, plenty of reasons to not believe Tucker, but not with that specific situation. I just can't say. But she did end up launching a campaign against the school by holding a press conference on campus. She did interviews for major outlets like CNN. She wrote op-eds about her experience for various publications. And sexual assaults oftentimes are not handled with the care that they should be, especially on college campuses. That's something we see all the time. But like I said, people really do question if she was telling the truth. You're going to have to make your own judgment call on that one. But I thought I would also tell you that her ex-boyfriend vehemently denies the claim and actually even sued Tucker for libel. And I've seen two different reports about what happened with the suit. I've seen that both of their suits have actually been dismissed. And then it's also been reported that she settled with him. And then as part of her settlement, she wasn't ever allowed to speak about him at all ever again. So while I couldn't determine exactly how the courts played out, I did learn that Tucker dropped out of USC. And around 2013, she moved back to Oregon to live with Kelly. And around this time, their family's dynamic had completely changed. And it was all because of money. And that is the case for so many families out there. It's very sad how it can be a real source of
drama and tension for families, but these people really took it to a whole other level. So let me explain. Now, even though Kelly and Shane had three other siblings, their parents decided that the two of them would receive everything when they passed away. Kelly would get the home she lived in, while Shane and she would split the ranch property 50-50. But once their dad passed, that plan became convoluted. And that was mainly because Kelly was constantly taking money from her mother. She hadn't worked in years at that point, and any income that she did have was whatever her mom was giving to her. And it seems like after their dad died, there were no longer any sort of guardrails on how much money she was taking. And it became so excessive that their mother, Laura, remortgaged the ranch property for around $900,000, which ended up being used like Kelly's own ATM. And it became so bad that at one point, one of Kelly's other brothers tried to confront her about it and put a stop to it. And she did not like that. She ended up coming after him with a fireplace poker. So, yeah, wasn't a great situation. And Shane was very upset about all of it. Not only was he upset just because he didn't like seeing his mom getting used, but remortgaging the property really screwed him over as well. By this point, the property value had been diminished quite a bit. And this is property that he was also set to inherit. And it seemed like none of the money that Kelly was getting was ever really enough for her. She always needed more. And at one point, she even wanted to harvest every single one of the trees on the property and then sell them to a lumber yard for extra money. But when the lumber workers showed up, Shane stopped them and said that since the property had been remortgaged, it was illegal to cut down the trees without informing the bank. So they immediately left. And when Kelly found out about this, she was furious. And she and Shane got into a massive argument, which would really become a common occurrence for the two of them. Their fights would become increasingly vicious. And one of the worst ones happened in 2016. The two of them were arguing about what else? Money. And then out of anger, Shane threw a gas canister, which ended up hitting Tucker in the face. Shane did claim it was an accident, but Tucker and Kelly said that it was an intentional assault. So they ended up pressing charges and then took out an order of protection against Shane, and he was then arrested for fourth degree assault. So then that incident led to Kelly trying to take swift action when it came to their inheritance. She started drafting a new will for her mother, which stated that if anything were to happen to any of them or their property, that Shane would be disinherited. But Shane ended up catching wind of this and he formulated a plan. He asked his mom to sign a grant deed, which would immediately split the property. And this would guarantee what was promised to him, half of the property, without Kelly's debts affecting his portion anymore. So Laura ended up agreeing to this, and then Shane arranged for a notary to come by and finalize the document. And this is when all the family drama over all the years really reached a fatal boiling point. It was July 26th, 2016. And the notary came by that day, a woman named Carla, and she said as soon as she arrived on the property, everything was just bizarre right away. And I feel so bad for Carla. She had no idea what she was walking into. She had never met their family before this. She had no idea what was going on between all of them. She had only communicated with Shane and only over text. So when she arrives on the ranch, one of Shane's friends, a man named Carlton, meets her at the gate and tells her to drive up to the house. And when they get there, Kelly and Laura are sitting at the kitchen table while Tucker is silently standing in the corner. And according to Carla, Kelly was yelling the entire time and demanding to see the document. And after a few minutes, Shane appears on the porch. And what Carla didn't know at the time is that Shane couldn't actually come into the home because of the order of protection that Tucker had taken out on him. So then Kelly said that Laura wouldn't sign the deed and became so upset that she actually tore up the document. And when Shane saw this from outside the house, he began to walk towards the front door, but Kelly ran to get it first. Then Tucker grabbed a gun from under a towel that was on the table the entire time, which is important to keep in mind. Tucker then follows her mother over to the door. And that's when Carla hears a gunshot. And of course, she starts freaking out. I mean, this poor woman is literally just there to do her job. and now a gun is going off. So she does what most people would do in a situation like that and immediately tries to find a phone to call 911. And she finds a landline, but the call wasn't going through. And that's when Kelly returned to the kitchen, holding the gun by her waist. Carla asked her to hand it over, but Kelly sternly told her no. And then a few seconds later, dispatch returned their call, and that's when she was able to tell them what was going on.
This is Jackson County 911 emergency.
Yes, I need somebody out here right away, and I need an ambulance.
Tell me what the emergency is.
I didn't see anything. All I can tell you is a gun went off.
Okay, listen to me. They're on their way. Are you in danger?
Yes.
The dispatcher then asked Carla to hand the phone to someone who was near the victim, so she passed it to Laura, and then she took that as her chance to leave what she felt like was a very dangerous situation. I would feel the same way. But as she was making her escape, she found Shane lying on the front porch, bleeding. And later on, she noted how weird it was that he was that far away from the front door. She just didn't understand how that could have even happened. Now, out of respect for Shane, I don't want to play any more of the 911 call. It's just horrible. You can hear him screaming in pain and agony, really, during his final moments. But I do think it's important that I explain some really significant moments of it. At some point, dispatch was talking to Kelly and attempting to walk her through CPR, but she told them she wouldn't do it because she wanted Shane to die, which is horrific to hear anybody say about anyone, let alone a family member, let alone their brother. And in all of this chaos, Shane's friend Carlton came to the scene and tried to do what he could to save him. And while all of this is going on, dispatch is talking to Laura, and in the background, you can hear Kelly screaming, die, die, die to Shane. And thinking about his final moments, oh my God, dude, it makes me like sick to my stomach. Imagine, I can't even imagine just what it would be like to be laying there in your final moments, bleeding out. And people who are in your family, your sister, is above you screaming, die, die, die. It's just sick beyond comprehension, really. And in the time that it took for first responders to arrive, Shane had already passed away from a single gunshot wound to the chest. So now police obviously had to figure out, how did this happen? What led to his death? So, of course, their first step is to bring Tucker and Kelly into the station for questioning. And their interviews are strange, to say the least. Let's start with Tucker first. Police say that she came off as meek while trying to walk them through her story. She tells them that Shane was a violent, unhinged man and that she was scared of him. But then she stops talking to them and says that she won't continue to talk to them until she has a lawyer present, which is, you know, fine. So the interview stops at that point. But then a few minutes later, investigators realize that she's waving to the camera in the interrogation room to get them to come back in. She is fully standing up, waving her arms in the air. And it turns out Tucker had changed her mind, and she now had some things to say without a lawyer present. And she starts to tell them that she feels that she had no other choice than to take Shane's life.
I was absolutely sure he was going to kill my mother. You know how, like, in horror movies, the hand goes around the door?
Right.
And he was, like, wedging himself so the door couldn't be closed again.
How are you holding the gun at this point?
It was only in one hand. I sort of remember just sort of having it in the air.
Do you make a conscious decision to fire the gun?
I don't think, no.
Tell me about that.
To fire a gun... And I've always thought you had to cock a gun. This gun doesn't do that. It just fired.
Can you, in your best words and your best recollection, tell us, best you can, exactly what you said to him when you got up there? Just reenact it for us. As loud as you need to be.
You know you're not supposed to be here. Get out of here. I have a gun. Leave. You're violent. We all know you're violent. Get out of here. It was very loud. There was no mistaking it. Mom was against the door and trying to push the door, and I could see Shane, and he was trying to get in.
So, as you heard, Tucker claims that she had no idea how to use the gun. She made it sound like she was just sort of using it as threat to get Shane to go away. and then it accidentally went off. She was never intending to shoot him. So it's clear what she's trying to do here. She's trying to paint the picture of self-defense and an accident. Only there's one major flaw with her story. Turns out, earlier in the day, Shane had called 911 because Tucker was practicing firing rounds on their property.
Mr. Shelley.
Hi, I wonder, I was hoping I could get a sheriff out here. I'm expecting a notary public to be here at 2 o'clock to 2:30. And I know I'm in trouble with my sister's over in the house. Her kid fired off a gun over there this morning. I'm afraid my sister's going to try to stop the notary public, and that's what I'm afraid of, and I don't want any trouble.
So clearly she wasn't clueless when it came to guns. And it's really just upsetting to hear that Shane was worried about his safety around Tucker and about her having a gun, only to end up being killed by her, shot by her, hours later. And what's even more upsetting and frustrating is that first responders never actually came to the scene for this call because they felt like it was a civil matter. And I just can't help but wonder how things would have played out if law enforcement had taken that call seriously, if Shane would still be alive. I mean, I feel like there's a good chance. But anyway, back to the interview. So the investigators tell Tucker, of course, that they know she understood how to shoot based on that call. And here is her response to that. These days, especially now that I'm pregnant, I am always looking for ways to get more protein into my diet. And I also am a big late night snacker, especially during pregnancy. So every evening, I have been making myself a cozy, nourishing cup of Kettle and Fire. And it's perfect. It's bone broth. It feels indulgent, but I know it's actually good for me and good for the baby as well. Kettle and Fire bone broth is rich, savory, it's delicious, it's slow simmered, and tastes as good as it is for you. And daily sipping supports gut health, digestion, muscle recovery and energy, and immune function. And you get all of this without changing your whole routine. You just heat and sip. It's a nice little treat at night, or you can have yours in the morning. Actually, there really are no rules. You can have it anytime. A lot of people like to have it around the 3 p.m. slump, you know, when you're tired, you're feeling snacky. You can heat a mug instead of reaching for the junk. It's going to keep you full until dinner. And with that, you're going to get 19 grams of protein, my friends. It's made with 100% grass-fed and finished beef bones and organic free-range chicken bones. No additives, no preservatives, no weird stuff. Just clean, real ingredients with up to 19 grams of protein per serving. It's going to keep you full between meals and can help curb those cravings. For a limited time, you can get a free carton of Kettle and Fire bone broth by going to kettleandfire.com/TCKR. Just buy any 3 cartons in store and they'll pay you back for one. This works on any flavor at any retailer. You can find Kettle and Fire in over 22,000 stores nationwide, including Costco, Walmart, Target, Publix, Whole Foods, Kroger, and Sprouts. That's Kettle and fire.com/TCKR.
Your uncle called reporting that you fired a gun on the property today.
Well,
prior to that time.
Well, that's bizarre.
So, to give Tucker the benefit of the doubt for a moment, which kind of pains me to do, maybe she was so afraid of Shane that she wanted to practice firing the gun in case her life was threatened. But why wouldn't she tell investigators that if that was the case? I mean, she herself even tells them that she and Kelly put the gun on the table for easy access.
Let's put it in a central place.
Okay.
And after this, detectives bring up something that is very significant. Shane's friend Carlton told police at the scene that he overheard Tucker tell Kelly, "You told me I could do it." And this is how she responded to that.
Said that he heard you say something like, "You told me to do it." Do you remember saying something to the effect of,
You told me I could do it.
You told me. You told me to do it, or you told me I could do it, or something?
Meaning be there, what? Be present while the.
Now, while she does certainly stumble through that quite a bit, it seems like she is trying to say that Kelly told her that she could be there during the notary signing, which would be a very peculiar thing to discuss with Kelly while someone is lying on the ground dying. So when the interview ends, Tucker is left in the room all alone. And this is when she begins to hyperventilate while
rocking back and forth, and then she lies down on the floor in the fetal position. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is a genuine reaction. Maybe it's an acting performance. Who knows? I'll let you be the judge on that. I have a good feeling I know how you guys are going to feel about it. To me, I feel like it's much more of a performance. I mean, she is an actor, so I don't know. Every time I watch it, it just reminds me of Jodi Arias. The fact that she's barefoot and just being so erratic. I don't know. I think it's much more of a performance. I don't think it's truly set into her what's happening, what she did, what's coming for her in the future. But while all of this is happening, Kelly is in another room being interviewed as well. And she is also trying to paint a picture of Shane being violent.
Telling you that moments before my brother died, he was assaulting me with the door. He was screaming at me. He was trying to force his way into a house he had no right to be in. I didn't know what Shane was going to do. It was horrifying. He was trying to come in and he was trying to hurt me. And God only knows what else he was going to do.
Then she starts talking about the family's financial disputes and just outright admits to them that she constantly needed money from her parents' estate.
I don't have any money. I was looking to get food stamps. I'm that broke. My mother is taking care of my family with her property wealth. I was going to adulterate the will with additional language that said that if anything happened to my mother or my family, that he would be immediately disinherited.
But the most shocking part of the interview was when she talked about how she felt now that Shane was dead.
I know. I'm so glad he's dead. I can't tell you. I don't grieve for my brother. I am glad this man is dead.
And it goes without saying that hearing her talk this way is extremely disturbing. Even if she really was terrified of Shane, it is unbelievable that she would be openly happy in an interview like that so close to when he just passed over her daughter killing someone in self-defense. Even if that is what really happened, you'd think you would be so emotional, so raw from the whole incident. You wouldn't be expressing this happiness. And also, it's just stupid. I don't know what she thought saying this to investigators would achieve for her, but yeah, it certainly did her no favors. Because at this point, investigators are just baffled by what Tucker and Kelly have said to them. The information was so similar that detectives began to question whether they had worked together to rehearse what they would say. So based on everything, Tucker was charged that day with manslaughter, but her family did bail her out the next morning, so she would be out while awaiting trial. And this is when the case starts to take a wild fucking turn. And I'm sure a lot of you are wondering when the whole low budget horror movie thing is going to come into play. It comes into play now. Yes, after she committed murder, she went on to star as the lead role in this horror movie. So how did she end up doing this? Well, in 2018, a local group of filmmakers decided to collaborate on a feature-length movie entitled From the Dark. And the story follows this group of workers at a remote resort. And Valerie, who is the main character, is celebrating her last day on the job. So her co-workers throw a going away party, but it turns out that there is a killer among them. And it honestly sounds like a pretty interesting concept. And it's always cool to see independent artists just going for it and trying to make their own movie, especially on a lower budget. But anyways, before shooting, they, of course, did an open casting call. And that's when an unknown actress named Wynne Reed auditioned. And honestly, she just blew them away. She was fantastic. So she ended up getting cast in the lead role of Valerie. And I'm sure you have already put it together that this mystery actress named Wynne is actually Tucker. But at the time, they had no idea who Wynne really was. And actually, at one point, one of the producers did his own background check on her. But because it was a low-budget production, the role wasn't actually a paid position. So he really just Googled her. He found Facebook and Wikipedia pages under that name and thought it was legit enough. So they went ahead and moved forward with bringing her onto the project. And of course, one of the first things they did was have her do a full script read. And what's interesting and really eerie is that in the movie, her character shoots and kills someone. And it gets even weirder. After that, there ends up being a debate among the characters about whether or not it was self-defense. And the filmmakers said that after Wynne read the script,
She just told them she thought it was fantastic, and she didn't mention the shooting scene at all. And then the next day, she signed a contract to be the leading lady, knowing full well that she would have to act out a killing similar to the one she had already committed in real life. And you know how actors will talk about how they pull from real life experiences or experiences of those they're close to get their emotions right when giving a performance? Well, I wonder if when she got to that part of the script, she thought, I could really nail this moment. I have literally been in this exact situation, and it's really creepy to think about. So anyway, filming began in April of 2018, and everyone on the set had good things to say about Wynn. According to them, she always wanted to rehearse with the other actors. She communicated really well with the crew and was always prepared for really tough scenes. But there was one person on set who had some suspicions about who Wynn really was. And her name is Meg Windows. And she was acting in one of the film's supporting roles. And she actually had a feeling that she knew Wynn as Tucker back in high school when they were both in the theater department.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny that infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure. The past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Do you ever have that moment where you recognize someone, you don't know exactly from where, or you think, maybe they just look like that kid I used to know from high school or middle school or whatever. You don't really know if they are. You can't even remember their name. It was kind of a situation like that. And she remembered Tucker for being extremely talented. And it's interesting, she, of course, remembers her from theater, so it kind of lines up. But she especially remembered her mother, Kelly, being at shows, being the stage mom. But Meg wasn't sure if who she was working with now was actually that same person she knew back then. That was until one day when Wynn's relative came to the movie set to do her hair and makeup. And you know who that was. And Meg knew too. This wasn't just a relative. It was Kelly. So she knew at that point her suspicions were correct. This was not Wynn. This was Tucker. And Kelly was also being weird about her identity. So with neither of them wanting to be honest about who they were, Meg thought it was pretty strange and started to get sketched out by the whole situation. But she wanted to be professional on the set, didn't want to cause any drama while shooting this movie. So she really just kept everything to herself until production wrapped. And that happened in July of 2018. And the filmmakers felt really great about how everything turned out. That is, until a few days after filming. Because that's when they learned that Wynn was not who she said she was. And not only that, she was facing manslaughter charges. Imagine how shook you would be. They were extremely freaked out. They had just spent months working super closely with this person, and they didn't actually know her identity all along. They were calling her a different name, and she's acting as a killer in this movie in almost the same situation. And on top of that, they find out that she is charged with killing her own uncle. Just imagine what it would be like to find out all of this about a coworker that you felt like you knew pretty well and had spent a ton of time with. It would just be extremely trippy. But then things got even crazier because investigators found significant evidence and upgraded the charge to murder. It turns out that her role in the movie From the Dark wasn't the only time that she was caught on camera shooting someone. That's right. Tucker had made her own little movie, and it was a video of herself killing Shane. So in the lead up to the trial, her defense team came across the video in the discovery phase. And at first they turned it over to the prosecution, telling them that this video would prove that it was self-defense, only it was the complete opposite. Now, I won't play all of it. It is disturbing, but I will share some significant moments leading up to Shane's death. So first, Tucker captures Kelly, Lore, the notary, and Shane's friend Carlton walking in. The video shows the conversation at the table about the grant deed while Shane is outside the home looking through the window. But then everything escalates.
Oh, this is a grant deed? So do you know this?
Oh, this is not getting signed.
Okay. Do you know anything about this?
No.
It was actually getting signed.
Yes. He's coming into the house. God damn it.
She's not signing a grant deed, Shane. I thought it was a will. She's not signing a grant deed.
Yeah. You son of a bitch!
Right after this moment, the video briefly shows the front door, and we can clearly see Kelly standing in front of the open doorway, but we don't see Shane. And we definitely don't see Shane ramming the door the way that Kelly and Tucker had claimed. And also, if you remember, the notary specifically said that she saw that Shane wasn't actually close to the door, and she was so confused about how he was so far back from it. So obviously, both of these things completely contradict their stories. Then, in the video, Tucker walks right up to the door and shoots him without giving Shane any time to react. And this is so awful. I mean, the video is just so brutal, but in it, you can hear Shane screaming in shock and pain. And then Tucker puts the phone down, but it keeps recording the audio and it picks up some significant things. And specifically, it picks up Tucker's reaction when she finds out that Shane is still alive.
Give me the gun, honey. Give me the gun. Why? You need the gun. Here.
Is that dead?
No, sir.
And God, that is just such a disturbing way for that video to end. And it is really shocking, even with Tucker, to hear how much she wanted him dead and that she captured all of this herself. So after hearing all of this, the prosecution ended up upgrading her charges to murder, and she was rearrested and held without bail. So round of applause for her defense team. Excellent work, you guys. Now, as you probably guessed, Tucker was pissed about this situation. And in January of 2019, her attorneys requested a bail hearing. And this was actually treated more like a small trial, including witnesses and evidence being presented as well. And one of the most significant moments was when Kelly took the stand. And of course, she did so in her typical dramatic style. And once again, of course, she painted Shane as someone who's trying to harm her, and that Tucker was just protecting her mom.
It was mostly saying, this is my property. You better not up my deal with mother, Kelly. You better not up my deal with mother. I was afraid. I was more afraid than I've ever been. And I wanted Tucker to come outside with the gun. I wanted to have the gun. I was that afraid. And Tucker came out, and she gave me the gun, and then she took it back from me because she could see that I was panicked, and she also knows that I'm half blind.
But the video taken on her phone was played in court. And as we know, it tells a much different story. And actually, one of the filmmakers was there that day because he believed Tucker acted in self-defense, and he just wanted to show his support. But once he saw that video in court, he completely changed his mind. So that support did not last long. And it also seemed like the judge was pretty swayed by the video and decided not to grant bail. And when they were giving the ruling, Tucker put on quite a show for us all. It's honestly sort of entertaining to watch. It's just the theatrics are so over the top. And I've seen so many similar moments in court footage before. This one's up there.
Misery, if you don't
behave, I'm going to just have to remove you from the courtroom. So
please,
you...
I feel like I'm going to pass out. Okay. I feel like I'm going to throw up. Oh my God.
And if you listen closely in this next clip, you can actually hear her screaming at the top of her lungs from down the hallway.
They're about returning the security to those who posted bail for her.
And another filmmaker was there, and he said that it was hard to tell if this was a genuine reaction or if she was just giving another performance. I mean, I know where I stand on that. In my opinion, it's all very obviously an act. It's all bullshit. But I do get that for some people, it's kind of hard to tell, and some people do feel torn about it. I mean, it's hard to make a decision because she is so good at selling it, I guess. I don't know. I don't think she's that good, but let me know what you think. And I also wanted to point out that normally I wouldn't cover a bail hearing, but because of those theatrics, I felt like I needed to mention it. And I also needed to mention it because Tucker never actually went to trial. As we have talked about in so many cases in the last couple years, when COVID first hit in 2020, the court system really just like came to a screeching halt and it caused a lot of delays. Plus, the prosecution was worried that Tucker, you know, with her acting background, would be able to convince a jury that she was innocent. So they offered an agreement and she ended up pleading guilty to manslaughter in exchange for a sentence of just 6 years. Now, the date that she was supposed to get out was November of 2024, but I actually could not find any information out there about if she has been released or not. And if she was released, I have no idea where she is now. I did find something interesting about her time in prison, though. In 2020, she was actually charged with possession of heroin and supplying contraband after a search of her cell was conducted. So it is possible that maybe that added to her sentence and she isn't released yet. But if she isn't out already, she may be soon, which is really gross to think about. Of course, if someone had served their time and reformed themselves, then yeah, release makes sense. But 6 years is not nearly enough time for what Tucker did. And I just hate so much when cases end this way, with the killer getting such a light sentence. It's just such a slap in the face to the victim and everyone who loved them. But I am very curious to see what Tucker will do next. I mean, will she try to make a return to acting, or maybe she'll live a quieter life? Probably would be wise, but I could totally see her going under a different name, maybe moving somewhere with Kelly and continuing to try to be a star. And speaking of Kelly, I wasn't able to find anything about her either and what happened to her, what she's doing now. And God, it pisses me off that she got away with, I mean, no accountability. I have no proof. It's just my opinion, but I think it's pretty obvious that she had some involvement in this. And it makes me sick thinking about after everything that she did, now that Shane's gone, she's probably set to inherit everything from her family, which is just unbelievable. Because that would mean that Tucker and Kelly got exactly what they wanted in the end. All they had to sacrifice was 6 years of Tucker's life, as far as I know. Meanwhile, Shane, on the other hand, had his life and his reputation as well just taken from him in an instant by his own family. Yeah, man, this one is really tough to wrap up. I mean, I just don't think justice was truly served. The fact that Kelly didn't get any punishment really bothers me. No accountability at all. Maybe made off with all the money. I don't know, man. It's just disgusting. And poor Shane. And there's only one picture of Shane. I'm sure you guys noticed. And, you know, his case is often represented, like I said earlier, with Tucker as the star of it all, really. For the only episode or like documentary on this case to have focused half of it, or more than half of it, but the first half of it just on Tucker is just so disappointing. I just feel so bad for him. I guess all we can hope at the end of the day is that maybe Tucker is still in jail and that karma gets both of them.
That is going to be it for me today, guys. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And make sure you follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It really does help me out. If you want to watch the video version of this show, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which will be linked, or you can just search Kendall Ray. I will be back with another episode soon, but until then, stay safe out there.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.